Ladies and gentlemen, would you please rise for the playing of our national anthem?
Game time, NBA. Slamming ops like MMA in the octagon. When I'm about to rhyme, I drop a young eight like it's mama time. Then eight more, that's a Paul Gasol. They gon' say, whoa, that boy's raw. Got a fast break straight to the hole. Drop the last eight, that's 24. When there's plenty more where that came from. Better know the flow, grade A1, and I'm ambidextrous. AI, they can plan to exit, they can't hide. I got hands in the fight like Mayweather. I know your man's in the mic, they can think better, but they ain't never. They featherweight, treble cut the heavyweight in every state. Never delegate. My team, the greatest from the NYC to Vegas. Now that I'm in the game, I see the A-list. But another can't quite see me, they wish I'm raising the bar. You players ain't raking and taking up space at the bar when we drinking. I'm calling a play. You balling the ball, we balling it day.
We going all the way. We're taking off from here. Watch as we go. Ain't no one blocking nor stopping. We know. We making every shot that we throw. Watch as we go. We going all the way. You know we coming. We going all the way. Up to something. We going all the way.
My team got rings like stepping in them. You shouldn't even think about stepping in them. And when they got the ball, it's like a weapon to them. We win, then we pop the bottles like a lemon in them. I'm aiming for the crown and I won't stop. You laying on the ground like a dope stop. Showstopper, I can't stop, won't stop. Ain't no way for my haters to go when I post up. I'm headed to the paint, breaking ankles. Big team, big goals, big bankroll. Figure that they close, but they ain't though. We the reason that they posting the hate quotes. Disrespecting the name just to bait you up. They thinking it's a game, but they play too much. Don't listen to them silly, you can play too much. They trip it cause you whip it and they take the bus. When you roll up like Wiz Khalifa, you on the sideline like a shit relieved up. You see me and my team, we grinning, we up. And we gon' eat like Queen Latifah. And we get it better than every day. I'm the 2-2-3 like LBJ.
We going all the way. We're taking off from here. Watch as we go. Ain't no one blocking nor stopping. We know. We making every shot that we throw. Watch as we go. We going all the way. You know we coming. We going all the way. Up to something. We going all the way.
What is good? What is good? What is good, ladies and gentlemen? This is your boy James, aka Hollywood J Black, live in the building once again. Welcome to a special Thursday night overtime sports show. As you know, Big Sin is still sick. He got the flu. So, unfortunately, he's not going to be here tonight. But, yo, that doesn't mean I am here alone. No. It doesn't mean that I'm here alone. I got ourselves a special guest. Let me bring him up on the screen for a second, and I'll introduce him properly. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a man that's a jack of all trades. He is a truck driver. He is a personal trainer. He is a military veteran, which I thank for his service. And once, most and above all, he has been my friend for about 24 years. Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you Mr. Robert Big Pev Peverov. How you doing today, sir? How you doing today?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. Just chilling here in Phoenix. Finished up my day. Got me a little bit of bite to eat, and just chilling, man. Ready to do this.
That's good. That's good. We haven't done one of these video things ever, which is actually pretty cool, though. So, right, it's good to have you here.
Hell yeah.
I bring you. You know, I brought you on here because your NHL expertise is second to none, as far as my friends are concerned. And I know I haven't done NHL justice like I probably should. But before we get into that, I just want you to kind of introduce yourself. Tell the people out there, not only on the camera, but also in podcast land where this is going to end up, exactly right. Who you are and where you're from and what you do, sir.
All right. Well, like you introduced me, my name is Robert Peverov. I hail from Las Vegas, Nevada, LV. Two of us grew up, well, I grew up in Vegas. James and I met in high school, and pretty much we've been friends ever since. I went into the Air Force in 2003. I did 9 years honorably, and did a bit of a stint in Abu Dhabi as a contractor, working on the F-16s over there. At that time, my family was living in Idaho, and I currently live in Ogden, Utah. Been living there for the last 5 years, as a matter of fact. And ever since then, I've been doing the truck driving thing. It's not the best job, but you know what? It pays the bills. So I'm doing my thing that way. I'm a personal trainer on the side, fitness coach on the side. You know, I'm a bit of a Forex trader at the same time. That's, we'll talk about that later. So, but yeah, man, like I said, I've just been doing my thing. As you can tell, I'm been into marketing. I have my own brand that I'm slowly trying to get off the, but other than that, I've been a part of a company called First Form. You are definitely familiar with it.
Yes, sir.
And I've been with them for about 5 years now, repping them, and they're a supplement company out of St. Louis. They do a lot of great things with supplements. They have excellent, excellent stuff. But again, that's another time. Tonight, we're getting down to nitty-gritty with sports tonight.
Yes, yes. Definitely. Like I said, I haven't been able to do NHL justice like I really would have. Last time I talked about NHL was about a couple weeks ago. I got to, and it was my anger after Gerard Gallant got let go from the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, I was pissed about that.
and I bet so much. So was Vegas, right? Like the news from that area was just like complete shock when they woke up that morning and realized that he had been let go. And what was your thoughts and feelings on that when that initially happened?
Well, I mean, if you look at Vegas as they have been over the last, you know, year and a half as a team, you know, under Gerard Gallant, they went down and made it all the way to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Under Gerard Gallant.
Yep.
But yet, the first part of the season, you know, they're losing games, they're winning games. You know, it's a normal thing with any NHL team, whether they're starting or whether they're veteran.
Yeah.
But to hear about Gerard Gallant getting let go just like that without any kind of warning or rhyme or reason, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
What was he doing wrong? What was the team doing wrong? Was there something going on with the general manager that he didn't like him, or, you know, who knows? But the fact that it was just that much of a shock that he was let go like that, it's like, okay, now we're kind of having to play catch up now.
Yeah. Now, the crazy part about it was, to me, was like, and as you said, like, teams win games, they lose games depending on streaks. The Vegas Golden Knights, for people that haven't been paying attention, the beginning of the season has always been one of those, they get off to a slow start, right? And then they hit their stride, I would say, like December, is that's when they hit their stride. And that's how it's been the last three seasons. Their inaugural season, last season, this year. They were at the bottom of the division after the first month, but then they were right into the thick of things in the playoff hunt as soon as December hit, going into January. And then now, I mean, I don't know. I think I've got to check out the records again, but you have it up better than I do. They have the old San Jose Sharks coach that's their coach now. How have they looked ever since they switched coaches? Like, have you noticed any big difference in the gameplay? I mean, I've seen it on the scoreboard, but what do you think has changed, I mean, ever since?
Well, with what I've noticed, really, defense has really been kind of holding back a little bit. As I've been watching in the game tonight against the Blues, they're down 3-2. And when I checked it about, I'd say about 20 some odd minutes ago, it was 2-1.
Yeah.
So Blues came back and scored two goals, one towards the end of the period. And it's like defense is kind of faltering a little bit. Offense is getting a little bit shifty and, more or less trying to force the puck into zone. They're trying to, get the puck to the net. They're trying to get those shots on goal. They're just not connecting. They're not really making a whole lot of, accurate shots. And again, going back to defense, they're not really sticking back with it and really trying to force the offense to actually make a move. They're actually just kind of letting them in. So I think what it is they're going to be making a few teammate changes and or trying to get the line to jive together. That way the defense offense can work together under this new coach. I mean, I don't know what the style that he runs, but I'm sure once everything gets together, they'll probably make a few player changes and player switches on each line to make that happen.
True. Now, everybody knows how a Gallant run team runs. So Gallant takes advantage of lineups, right? And so what ends up happening is that team was designed to, by the time you got down to the third lineup and then the fourth lineup, they were still better than the other team's third or fourth lineup, right? And but that's how Gallant's team was designed.
Right.
This new coach doesn't run like this. Like he doesn't run his lineups like that. So I feel like just like you said, once the offseason hits, they're gonna have to make some changes to make it run just like the San Jose Sharks. But the Vegas was known for its consistent lineup changes and giving you different looks every 5-6 minutes into a period, and now that's not the case.
Right. No, I mean, and it really didn't matter on the power play. It really didn't matter on, on the odd man. It really didn't matter. Once they had that jiving, everything was gravy.
Mm-hmm.
But since the changes, I noticed the power play is a little bit sloppy, mainly on defense, and a lot of the play going on. On the odd man, saying the 5-on-3, the 4-on-3, again, defense is getting just really, really sloppy. Offense, once they're able to get into the zone, they're not connecting with the shots. They're not forechecking. They're not backchecking, and they're more or less playing it safe.
Yeah,
understandable under a new coach. They're trying to get used to that style of play.
Yeah.
So, as they get along and actually force the play, then we're going to start seeing some changes. Because as you well know, San Jose over the last few years, with the help of Joe Thornton, they're an aggressive team.
Yes. They've
always been an aggressive team.
Yeah.
So we're getting that style brought into Vegas. We have an entire style in our own.
Yeah.
And we're taking that style, integrating into what we have now, which means there's going to be a lot of, like I said, there's going to be a lot of changes going on as far as defense and offense. Particularly, they really need to work on the power play.
Yeah.
Really need to work on the power play.
No, and I definitely feel that. So if Vegas somehow falters and they don't – I mean, we're 2 months away from playoff to action now. Vegas was hanging around, fourth or fifth seed around there at the time before the coaching change. If they somehow falter and end up out of the playoff hunt, what team do you think that was at the bottom is going to come back into it? Who do you think what you're looking at based off the standings?
Well, based off of standings, let me switch it on over here. Kind of get a look at it. Okay, as it sits right now, the Golden Knights right now, as it sits, are sitting third in the Pacific Division, which means they're already in the playoff picture.
Yeah.
And that's going based off of points. Calgary is sitting right on their ass, as well as the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
They're both right there. As a matter of fact, with what I'm looking at right now, Vegas, Calgary, and Arizona are all tied with 64 points apiece.
Oh, wow.
Winnipeg is bringing up the rear. And then Nashville's trailing behind them. So, I mean, as long as we can get more consistent play, I mean, right now we have 22 losses.
Yeah.
You look at all the other teams, like, say, Calgary and Arizona, we're at 23 and 24 losses. Winnipeg also at 24 losses. The only reason I would see them falling in the standings is if the consistent play that they're currently doing now starts faltering. They start losing games. And then at the same time, we got to hope that Calgary and Arizona don't bring up the rear and end up, you know, starting to go on winning streaks.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will definitely hurt our chances.
Well, yeah, now we're on what? If we lose this game, we'll be on a, what, three-game losing streak, I think, right now at this point, if we lose. Because we lost a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And so we're back at it again. If we lose to the Blues tonight, that I think they lost the game before that. So it might be end up being a – and we don't want to get on these streaks. Streaks are hard to recover from in the NHL. That's – I mean, in NBA, you can put together a winning streak as far as – and also put together a losing streak. NHL is a lot different. Yep. If you go on a losing streak, especially with the point system, it's a lot to try and recover from. Hopefully, yep. Vegas stays the course and stays in the playoff picture. But, man, things are looking rough. But I hope they make it in, man. All right. So I know in the Atlantic – well, not the – I can't say Atlantic. I like to call it the Eastern Conference. The better conference in NHL, the Capitals have just been on a tear this season.
They've lost the last two games, but standings wise, they've only got 15 losses. Yeah. Pittsburgh's right behind them, 15 losses. Best team in the NHL right now. We're looking at the Boston Bruins right now with they've got a 35-11. They got 12 overtime wins, which overtime wins, they're wins, they're points.
Yep.
So you're going to stack up the points either way you look at it.
Yeah.
They're on top of the NHL right now with 82 points. And I mean that literally, they're on top of the NHL right now.
Yeah. And that's crazy because when we last looked at the NHL, I want to say, like I said, about 2-3 weeks ago, Washington and Boston, they were literally like neck and neck fighting for it, and then Boston seemingly now pulling away now. I mean, Washington's playing great, but it seems that, oh, here comes Boston. We're going away. We're going away now. You know what I'm saying? And so I actually like – I think hockey's better. See, hockey's better when the big four have been playing well. The big four to me are Washington, Boston in the East, and Detroit and Chicago in the West, although – and that's kind of where I'm at. They need to come back up and do their thing. That's what hockey's missing. Right. Everybody knows that hockey town is Detroit. Blackhawks, that's just a given. Also, you know, everybody loves it when the Kings are there. And so, but Boston and Washington kicking ass and taking names is always good for that conference. I love it. Mm-hmm. It makes it more exciting. Pittsburgh is there too, which always, you know, it's historic Pittsburgh Penguins. Mm-hmm. It's something else. So, what are your thoughts about the NHL season as a whole, though? Like, what do you think? Has it been better than previous years? Has it been just about average? Have you seen some slowdown?
I'd say this year is probably it's probably an average season. We haven't seen a lot of breakout players. We haven't really seen a lot of breakout stars. A lot of the rookies that have been playing, not really seeing anybody standing out. The Oilers, as you know, have been taking a lot of the first-round draft picks for the last God knows how many years.
The Oilers are the Philadelphia 76ers of the NHL. I guess you got to trust the process, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, a couple years ago, I don't know if it was a couple years ago or a year ago, they actually made the playoffs.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Yep.
I think they got through the first round, got into the second round, got their asses handed to them.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they made the playoffs. So, yeah, which means they weren't taking a first-round draft pick. But you can tell, you know, like Connor McDavid came out of there.
Yep.
Oh, wow. You can tell I've been in the damn truck for so damn long. I can hardly remember the names. But a lot of these other breakout players coming up from college or coming up from all these farm teams, we're not really seeing anybody stand out.
Yeah.
So this year has been more of an average year. Last year, with the beginning of, you know, Las Vegas' first season.
Yeah.
That was the biggest talk of the entire NHL season.
Yeah, that's true.
Vegas is just on fire. Then they make the playoffs. Then they get into the semifinals. Then they get into the conference final. Then they make the Stanley Cup final. And it's like, this is like the biggest news ever. The, you know, first expansion team in, oh, what was it, 30, 35, 36 years?
Yep, yep.
That went through and made it to the final. They didn't capitalize, but they made it to the final.
Well, and that to me itself was one of those things that, hold on, before I continue, one of our viewers, Di Valenti, says, she says, hi, new guy. Hi, James. By the way, the new guy doesn't look like Sin. It's Big Sin on Slim Fast, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you worry. Don't you worry.
Thank you for the compliment.
So the thing about Vegas, I didn't think that Vegas was going to make it as far as they did. And then when they got into the finals, I was like, wait a minute. We might just be able to pull this off. The Caps didn't even think that they were going to make it as far as the Caps made it. And they made it in. And that was kind of the best thing about it. Like,
because that's the biggest thing, though. Because, I mean, every year the Caps have made the playoffs. They've won the President's Trophy several times.
Mm-hmm.
But they get into the playoffs, no matter how far they get to it, they can't seem to get to the final.
Yep.
They either faced Boston, they faced the Penguins,
mm-hmm.
and they get stopped.
Yep. And then they were able to beat Boston, right? They beat Boston in seven in the second round.
They beat Boston in seven in the conference final.
The conference final.
To face Vegas.
It was – who embarrassed Tampa Bay in that playoff? I can't remember. I'm trying to remember. Somebody embarrassed Tampa, and I want to say – like I thought it was the Caps, but I just remembered that the Bruins played the Caps in that final, and I thought we were going to play the Bruins. But Tampa Bay was the number one seed, and they got embarrassed. Tampa Bay was the number one seed 2 years in a row and got embarrassed in the playoffs, which was like
both
to
times,
me just
lost. Both times lost in the first round.
Yeah,
both times.
I just last year was crazy. So last year in the NHL playoffs, all the top four teams in the NHL were gone in the first round. Which was like, what are y'all doing? And so
because the Caps were eighth seed.
Yeah. Yep.
The Caps were eighth seed.
Yep. Yep. Last year they came in as the number one seed or number two seed. Mm-hmm. But the year before they were the eighth seed. Yep, matter of fact, that's what it was. The Caps beat Tampa in the first round. That's what happened 2 years ago. Everybody was just like shook. But then last year, the same thing happened to the Caps. They were the top seed, and then they got tampered out of the playoffs. I call it tampered. That was a wrap. But I last year to me was like the playoffs. I love playoff hockey, and I love the month going into right before the playoffs because that's when you start seeing what these teams are really made of, right?
It's usually the last 8 to 9 games.
Yep.
You'll start seeing these teams that are vying for that position, vying for that wild card spot.
Yep.
And they're going to start playing their best. They're going to be trying to play their hardest. But you're also going to see those teams get to a point where it's going to be at a point of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll start seeing certain elements of each team start faltering in certain places. Other teams will be stronger than the others.
Yeah.
Other teams will be weaker than the others.
Yeah.
Great example, Detroit.
Yep.
Since they've moved over to the Eastern Conference, it's just been a shit show for them because they're playing against they're playing in a tougher conference, so it's a lot harder for them to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got Washington, you know, Pittsburgh, Boston, you know, a lot of these, you know, higher caliber teams.
Yeah.
They're in a much, much tougher conference, which is also the reason why they haven't been in the playoffs.
Well, like I said, eventually I think they'll get there. They're just going to have to find a way to play better against, I call it the establishment, as you said, the Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. the Bostons, and the Caps, the Washingtons. Once you can get past the establishment, I think that's when you're going to see some real good hockey come out of Detroit. All right. Go ahead.
They also got to get rid of a lot of the older players, too.
Yeah. It's going to take a little bit.
I mean, for the longest time, what the average age on the Detroit Red Wings was like 31 years old,
which isn't bad. But now it's what? It's old. A lot of older guys. Like I said, a lot of guys that are still working in the last years of their contracts and stuff like that. And it'll get there. I hope it gets there. Like I said, hockey's better when Detroit is in there. All right. So let me get to we're gonna talk about a little bit of NBA All-Star Weekend. I know that me and you, we grew up on some really, really good NBA All-Star Weekends. You had just left for the military during Jordan's last you hadn't left yet. 2001 All-Star Game. That's when Jordan played his last All-Star game. We had sat there and watched that game. That was a hell of a game. And remember the old Eastern Conference rival. We used to see Magic and Bird go against each other. We used to see Jordan and Magic used to go against each other. Then we saw Barkley when he was on the Suns go against Jordan.
Barkley. Yeah. That was terrible.
and that's what we grew up on. And now, due to, I guess, faltering ratings, they've changed how the All-Star game works. So what happens is that they pick 12 players from the East and then 12 players from the West. And then the two team captains this year is Giannis Antetokounmpo and LeBron James. They kind of just draft them, and then they could just end up anywhere. So it ends up being Team LeBron versus Team Giannis. I don't like it, because I like the East versus the West, because for as much slack as the Eastern Conference used to get about being a lot of crappy teams, they used to beat the West consistently because the fundamentals were there. It wasn't about showy basketball. It was about coming in, working hard, doing what you're supposed to do to win the game. Now I just don't know. Like I don't like it. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm not a fan of the format.
Yeah,
I'm really not. I would rather be East versus West.
Yeah, yeah. It just
makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think even when the NHL kind of switched it off for a couple years, they went USA versus the world for their All-Star game. I think a couple times.
Yeah, I like the early 2000s. They started doing that, and it's like, okay, you're gonna have a lot of the Russians and the European players against the U.S. players. You know, you're more or less having the Olympics right there in your backyard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But to me, it was like, you have all these great teams in the NHL and you have all these great players, just divide the East and West. It's fine. And nobody's going to get mad. You know what I'm saying? That's the reason why you have the conference. You have these conference wars. And I think it's the same thing with basketball. I want to see the best power forward in the East, which is Giannis, go against the best power forward in the West, which is Anthony Davis. I want to see that matchup. I don't want to see, everybody on, you know, one person picking all the good players on one team and then the other team getting all the B-level talent. Of course the A-level talent's going to win. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, that's like going and playing kickball with your boys over in the, you know, in the backyard or out in the yard. And it's like, hey, you're going to pick all the good guys. You get the rest.
Yeah, there you go.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, to us, I definitely agree. The one thing I did find out about is that Dwight Howard is returning to the slam dunk contest for the first time in years. But it's actually going to be pretty good, because Aaron Gordon is actually going to be in the slam dunk contest too. So we're going to have two men that are 6'10" in the slam dunk contest for the first time, I think, since the 90s, which is insane. The only sad part about that Kobe Bryant was supposed to actually help out Dwight Howard. Kobe Bryant, rest in peace. But I want to see what happens. I think I'm actually excited for the slam dunk contest for the first time in a while, because Aaron Gordon, you know, he's a multi-time champ. Dwight Howard is a champion. I think Alex Caruso is going to be there, the white Italian dude from the Lakers. Have you seen? Yeah, I think he's going to be in it. That's what I've heard. So I don't know. I'm actually hyped up about it.
Interesting.
It should be. It should be. the Rising Stars Challenge, we have a couple of rookies. We have Ja Morant. He's a real good basketball player from Memphis. They were trying to say that he was supposed to be selected to the All-Star game. That's how good they tried to say he was. But, of course, right. Damian Lillard, you know who Damian Lillard is. Just been a monster. But he hurt his groin. Devin Booker, actually from the Phoenix Suns, where you're at, is actually going to be taking his place. So,
yeah, I did catch up on that.
Yeah, so that should be interesting. Since we're at the midpoint of the NBA season, what are your thoughts about what you've seen? Like, everybody's talking about the Lakers versus the Clippers in the Western Conference. I think that there's a lot of good Eastern Conference teams that nobody's even talking about because, of course, everybody's focused on LeBron and Kawhi Leonard, and they're even focused on the Denver Nuggets, which have been a really impressive team. The Jazz, which you're familiar with them, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley. Nobody's talking about them, but they're a really good team. Should we be diverting our attention to LA for that matchup? Or do you think that there's a team, ones that we've talked about, ones that we haven't talked about, that we should be really looking out for?
Well, going on with – because it's been a while since I've followed – the NBA. I mean, I've been a hockey guy, as you know.
Oh, of course, of course. But, I gotta poke the bear a little bit and see what I can see what I can get you to observe. I'll tell you like it is right now. So right now, the Kings of the East are everybody saying Milwaukee and Boston.
Milwaukee, Toronto, and Boston. As a matter of fact,
yeah, Toronto has been really good, and Toronto Lily is a team with no stars. So since last year, since Kawhi Leonard took him to the championship, they've literally found a way to play really good team ball, and they haven't missed a beat. Milwaukee,
from the win-loss record, it doesn't look like it. They really missed a beat at all.
Not at all.
3-15. The Bucks, 8 losses.
Yeah,
that's impressive. And we haven't seen something like that since the Bulls back in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and even 10. especially in the Eastern Conference, where I think just like you said, the Bulls are the last team that have come close to that. I mean, the West, we still had the Golden State Warriors in their 73-9 season, but
yes,
that's different when you have three All Stars on the team with Curry, Draymond, and Klay Thompson. This was before Kevin Durant got there, the Eastern Conference has a lot of really good teams. Like I said, we said Philly, we got Toronto, we got Milwaukee. The mm-hmm. Celtics are up there. The Celtics, when they're healthy, are one of the most dangerous teams right now. They're back to prominence. What are we talking about?
They're sitting right now. I mean, hell, let's see. I can give you the rundown right now. The Eastern Conference, 1-8. Looking at the playoff picture, if it were to start today, Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Miami, Philadelphia, Indiana, Brooklyn, and Orlando.
And Orlando has been – so Orlando's a really interesting case because they actually lost their center, their starting center, Jonathan Isaac. They lost him about 10, 15 games ago, and they played really good small ball ever since. Brooklyn is a weird team because – without Kyrie Irving, they're actually better than they are with Kyrie Irving. They actually have a better win-loss record without Kyrie Irving in the lineup. And Kyrie is injured right now, so he's going to be out for a little bit. But that Brooklyn team is real dangerous. Like, how can you take how can you tell me that a team without their top 10 in the world star be a better team without him than they are with him? That's crazy, right?
It's nuts. I mean, it's nuts how somebody can just come off the bench and come out and dominate. I mean, we're talking about, let's see. What the hell was his name? Oh, my God.
It's a hard name to pronounce. Dinwiddie. Spencer Dinwiddie. That's his name. Yep. That's who came off the bench.
Dinwiddie?
Mm-hmm. Dinwiddie. It's a hard name to pronounce. Like it's not a name that's just advertised in lights, right?
He's the Jeremy Lin of this particular era.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he came out shooting threes like it was nothing, and winning, taking the team So it's like, hello, take somebody from the bench. I'm pretty sure they can step it up whenever it needs to be stepped up.
Yeah, that's the true definition of next man up. And now in the Western Conference, do that rundown for me. Let me know who's 1-8 in the West. And actually give me 9-10, because you know the Western Conference, you could probably go down to like 10 or 11 or even 12, and they'd still be in the playoff picture just hanging around somewhere.
Not in this case, my friend.
Oh, no. Okay.
Okay. Remember when Golden State was pretty much dominating?
Yes.
They had their 73-9 season.
Yes.
They've pretty much been in the playoffs ever since. They've, you know, it's been Steph Curry and LeBron back and back. You know, they're in last place, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have nobody right now. Curry's injured out, as you know. Thompson tore his ACL. Basically, it's just Draymond Green and a bunch of rookies and 2-year players. That's who he's playing with, bro.
And it's a sad thing to be looking at, considering the fact of how dominant they were over the last few years, and to see them all the way down in last place with pretty much no chance of even making the playoffs going into the All-Star game, unless they step up their game or unless Steph Curry magically comes back.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is supposed to be back in March. The smart thing would be to let him chill until the end of the season. And then because there's no point. I mean, he has a broken hand. He broke the big finger in his hand, which whenever you're a shooter, you break the big finger in your hand. That's
your shooting hand's gone.
Yeah, yeah. You might as well.
I've sprained many a finger.
Yeah,
you remember we used to play basketball a lot, bro.
a sprain is bad enough. A clean break is just all bad. It's all bad. All right, so. So let's get into the last thing. We got one more thing we're going to talk about. NFL, as you know, Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champs. They beat my San Francisco 49ers. Blah, 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 blah.
Still bitter about that.
Oh, I'm going to always be bitter the whole time.
Still bitter about that.
I'm bitter because I feel that the Kansas City – and I keep saying this. The Kansas City Chiefs didn't win that game. The San Francisco 49ers lost that game.
They lost that game.
Yeah.
So 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and we were up 20-10.
Yep. Yep. And it's just the saltiest feeling that I've ever had in my entire life.
It's literally, I'm sitting there watching that game just like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Yep.
It's like defense just decided, okay, cool. We got 6 minutes left. We got this. We're 10 points up. And I sat there and I just watched the defense completely just melt.
Yeah, well,
under the pressure.
Well, the whole thing was it was like this: they changed their offensive scheme and their defensive scheme with 6 minutes to go. Like I looked at the replay of every single play after that interception, changed the whole entire thing.
It did.
Because Mostert had that 5-yard run, and then George Kittle had that 15-yard pass. After that. Everything changed. And then once that happened, we couldn't catch back up. Our defense was too tired because the game plan that we had for the defense was simply like this. We're going to give you about 8 yards, okay? So if you're going to try and get this first down, you're going to have to do it within 8 yards. You're not going to beat us in the back. We know that you're too fast, so we're going to cut. We know if you're going to go streaking, then we're going to have this 8 yards covered. We got a head start, and we're going to beat you there. We're basically going to bend but don't break. That's why you see Mahomes, he was looking like Tom Brady with dinking and dunking in the first 3.5 quarters instead of throwing it deep. He didn't have any deep balls in the first 3.5 quarters.
Nope. Well, he had a couple, but I think only maybe one out of – I think it was, one of five or two of five even connected.
Yep.
So,
and then the deep balls that he did have were picks. So, I mean, it was working. Mm-hmm. The moment – We went man to man. Is everything got screwed up? Like that's I'm like, why would you change that? Like you shouldn't have never changed that. Nope. So, but I want to get into a couple things. The first thing is, Tom Brady is a free agent now. There's a bunch of different teams that may be vying for his services. The Los Angeles Chargers, the Raiders, which could you imagine how big Vegas would be if they land Tom Brady? There's always going back to New England taking a discount as long as the team gets the weapons that Tom Brady needs, because New England was severely lacking in weapons. Their only weapon was Tom Brady. And that's
not pretty much. Pretty much.
Go ahead.
This New England team, I mean, yeah, they had the win-loss record, playoff caliber, but they had those few losses.
Yeah.
The Texans and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I think those two losses there were the beginning of the end.
Yeah, especially the Dolphins season. Especially that Dolphins one at the end, because it was like, you're supposed to beat this team, and you know that you have to beat this team in order to get the first week off. You know you're going to be in serious danger having to play the Titans in the first round of the playoffs.
Especially the Titans.
And that's exactly what happened.
As hot as they were, it's like I was watching the scores. I mean, let's see. Where was I? I was up in Twin Falls. I was up visiting with my kids that weekend. And we had just gotten back from skating with my kids. I got on my phone and I took a look at the scores just to see what it was looking like. And I saw that the Dolphins beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the score was, but the Dolphins beat the Patriots. I'm like, one, I got wide-eyed. Two, I started laughing my ass off. And three, I was like, how is that even possible? And then I realized that was the win that they needed to get that first round bye.
Yep. Yep. And the Dolphins knew it. And the Dolphins knew it.
Yes.
And see.
Sorry, Big Sin. I know you're probably watching this, but I'm sorry.
Well, I knew it too. Like, I really wanted the Patriots to beat the Titans at that point. But I was like, if they're not – If you've noticed, the last 3 years, somehow, some way, the Dolphins have found a way to beat the Patriots. And they've had three different coaches in that time period. So the Dolphins have somehow, with three different coaches, three different quarterbacks, in Miami, have found a way to beat New England in December. I don't know how they do it. They just do it.
They just do it.
And so,
and a lot of it, particularly, is on defense.
Yep.
I do notice that every time they have beaten the Patriots, it's been on defense.
Yep. And you, I can't even name anybody. Like, 2 years ago, there was Ndamukong Suh. Last year, there was this linebacker. I can't remember his name right now. But this year, I don't know. I couldn't even tell you anybody that's on their defense that was. But they were just good.
They were.
They were just good.
And they stepped it up. I mean, it was like the Ravens. Back when they won their last Super Bowl with Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of young guys on their defense that all stood together and made the shit work.
Yeah.
And ended up winning the Super Bowl because of it.
Yep. So, Lewis and Suggs, and you can't even tell me anybody else on that defense, right?
Nope.
That's what I'm saying.
Nope. Maybe one other person, but I mean, even I can't remember their name.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, it was a bunch of younger guys. Yeah. Ray Lewis, yeah, Suggs, but anybody else on there, you don't really know for the life of me.
Exactly.
But
all right.
They won the Super Bowl because of defense.
No, you're right. So, if you're Tom Brady and you're being courted by all these teams and you have all these options, do you go back to New England and make it work and help build a team that can give you for the next 2 years that'll give you a deep championship run, or do you go somewhere else? And if they offer you the most amount of money and still offer you that same option to build a team, what do you do as Tom Brady? And if he does go somewhere else, does it ruin his legacy?
Well, let's throw an example in here. Look at Joe Montana.
Yep. True.
He ended up leaving and going to Kansas City for two years of his career, and his legacy wasn't stained.
True.
He was still one of the most dominant quarterbacks. He didn't have the best O-line at the time, but he still played at his level and did it with the best weapons that he had at the time that he had it.
Yeah.
So if let's say he were to go with the Chargers. The Cowboys, I believe I've heard.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. For him.
The Raiders. You know, and all this, all these other teams coming up, it's like I really, it's like Brett Favre when he decided to jump ship.
Yeah.
It's like we couldn't really see him in another uniform other than what he has built his legacy on.
Yeah.
It's just hard picturing that. But, yeah, if I were Tom Brady, if the Patriots offered, you know, something pretty decent, but was and was able to give or at least get a hold of the weapons that we needed to win another championship, hell yeah, I'd go back to New England.
Yeah.
However, on the other hand, like I said, with all these other teams that are looking at it, they want to win a championship too. They know Tom Brady's clutch.
Yep.
So they also got to look at the picture of that, plus who they're going to have to lose in order to get him.
True.
That's the other thing they got to look at.
True. Now, I think that, see, to me, I think Tom Brady is willing to not make that big money in order to win, in order to know at the last 2 years to be like, hey, we're going to have a legitimate shot at winning a championship. I don't think that championship is going to happen in the NFC, unfortunately, because between the Niners, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Cowboys that they signed Dak Prescott, the Vikings, the Saints, I mean, all just that thing, I don't think it'll happen. In the East, I mean, in the AFC, I mean, as opposed to the NFC, in the AFC, it's really right now the Chiefs, the Ravens with Lamar Jackson, and then it's just wide open at that point. That New England was number three with Tom Brady. If they don't have Tom Brady, New England's not number three anymore. They have some. I mean, and that's the other thing too. New England invested so much in Tom Brady, not just now, but for the future, because they didn't draft a replacement quarterback. They never had. They had Jimmy Garoppolo, and they traded him to San Francisco. They don't have a guy that'd be like, you know what? Exactly. They don't have a guy that'd be like, he can replace Tom Brady. They don't have that. Nope. So that's the thing that New England has to look at too. Do we want? Can we afford to lose him? Like, because if they lose him, there, I don't think there's no coming back. I don't think that. I mean, because
there is no coming back.
No, there isn't.
There
is
no coming back. Because I mean, again, I mean, look at, like I said, for example, look at Joe Montana. I know my sound got a little weird. My phone's starting to die, so I changed up a little bit. But again, I mean, look at Joe Montana. He spent 2 years in Kansas City before he ended his career.
Yeah.
He didn't get that championship in Kansas City. He left his legacy in San Francisco.
Yep.
You know, he left his heart in San Francisco. Anyway, but, you know, Tom Brady going to another team is going to, I mean, it's going to affect everything, but it's not going to affect it in a way that, like, say, you know, the Patriots can rebuild. They did have a second string that was decent. He wasn't Tom Brady decent, but he was decent.
Yeah.
And they were able to, I believe they won.
They won 11 games, but they didn't make the playoffs.
11 games. They didn't make the playoffs. Yet that second string quarterback, I believe, won two of those games.
Well, all right. So the two instances where Tom Brady didn't play in the season, we had the Matt Castle thing where, I remember, Tom Brady tore his ACL, and then yes, Matt Castle came in and he went 11-5, but due to weird tiebreaker stuff, the Patriots didn't make the playoffs. And then there was
season. Yeah, that was that year.
Yep.
Oh man.
And then
that year.
And then there was the year that Tom Brady was suspended for the first four games for the whole the Flategate crap. Jimmy Garoppolo started. He started two games, played decent. Jacoby Brissett started two games, played decent. And neither of those quarterbacks are in New England. Brissett's in Indianapolis. Nope. Jimmy Garoppolo's in San Francisco.
Exactly.
But the only messed up part about it is, I know that you mentioned the San Francisco 49ers with Joe Montana. The Patriots don't have the benefit of having a Steve Young waiting in the wings. Hell, they don't even have a benefit of a Steve Bono waiting in the wings, because just as good as Steve Young was, Bono was almost as good. Bono could have won you, gotten you to the playoffs. And Steve Young was that good too. They don't have neither nor in New England. I think it's Jarrett Stidham. I don't even know who this kid is. And I'm not saying that he's not great, but what I'm saying is that when it comes down to it, he's not a Steve Young. He's not the guy that should be like, I'm going to hand over the keys to, because I know that this guy can take over. I think, to me, New England can't afford to lose him. If they do lose him, I don't see New England making the playoffs for at least a year or two, until they get a quarterback that can get them back on their feet. Maybe they'll end up being like the Ravens, the 2000 Ravens, that just have a really good defense and not that much offense. Who knows? But I just don't see him. Tom Brady, on the other hand, that's a tough one. I think that you, if you want the most out of Tom Brady, you're going to have to get him to a place that's a quarterback-friendly city. The Vegas Raiders, John Gruden, you know he's quarterback-friendly. Bruce Arians in Tampa Bay is very quarterback-friendly. You see what Jameis Winston did. I mean, he threw 35 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, which is – I mean, it's a passing offense, but Tom Brady's not going to throw 40 interceptions, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, he's not going to do that, but – it's a lot to look
forward to. I don't know. You'd. I mean, you got to figure. You know, there's some quarterbacks out there that have, over the years, they've switched teams, and all of a sudden they buckle under the pressure, or they buckle under the new offense.
Yeah.
Or their offense just really isn't performing. The interceptions end up. You know, it's like. It's like, I mean, again, you're right. I mean, it just depends on who is going to accept him with their offense being a quarterback-friendly team.
Yep.
If you take somebody that's the caliber of a Tom Brady and send him to, you know, the LA Chargers, I mean...
There's still a lot of work that's going to be done.
Like I said... There's a lot of work that's got to be done on both offense and defense. And then you got to get Tom Brady's style adapted with their offense.
Yep.
But at the same time, really, I mean, before all that even happens, no matter what team he ends up with, it's going to come down to who's willing to give up who for that quarterback.
Yep.
That's going to be the big ticket right there, is who are they going to have to give up for their team in order to receive Tom Brady as their quarterback?
Well, yeah, because you're going to have to pay the man 30 million.
The O-line? Yeah. I mean, are they going to shake up the O-line? Are they going to shake up, you know, their wide receiver? Free safeties?
Or even defense? You know, I just got to look at it like, too. So if I bring in Tom Brady – and I need offensive players to bring with Tom Brady. Let's say I need an A.J. Green, or I need, hell, we'll even say Antonio Brown, right? Both of those receivers cost about $20 million a year. So if you're paying Brady $30 million, and you're paying two receivers $20 million apiece, that's $70 million right there. You're going to have to find some cheap labor on defense, or just even on the bench, just to try and fill this out. And I don't know if it can be done, to be honest. I mean, that's so much money dedicated to maybe two or three players at the most.
Two or three, yeah. I mean, you're only looking at two or three players just in that little circle right there.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I mean, it's going to shake up no matter what team he goes with, whether he goes back to New England. I mean, I'd say he'd be better off in New England.
Yeah.
The offense is already established. The defense is already established.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, a few younger guys. They've got their second string, which, like I said, we don't really know a lot about them. But they got their second string quarterback, which, if you look at it this way, it's going to be another, you know, Joe Montana, Steve Young, or Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, more or less, it's going to be the grooming year for the younger guys to step up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
no matter what team he ends up with.
Yeah, that's true. And I think at the end of the day, it really comes down to one man decision. And I won't even say in Tom Brady. It's really going to belong to Bill Belichick and how he wants to continue this on. And we've talked about Tom Brady and about what he wants and what he needs. Nobody's had this conversation with Bill Belichick about what he wants and what he needs. So that's going to be something interesting to talk about over the next couple months. So,
yeah.
Oh, man, excuse me.
And we know Brady and Belichick are like this. So, yeah. I mean that quite literally. So, anyway. Yep, I went there.
Yeah.
I went there.
All right. Well, on that
note. Sorry, Big Sam.
On that note, it's time to close this thing out. We ran about 55 minutes, which is all good. Anything that you want to say, Big Pev, before we bounce up out of here?
Well, I can give you the rundown of the final scores. If we want to go that far as hockey goes.
Yeah.
I've been kind of paying attention.
Yeah, tell us everything that's gone to a final.
What's going on here? Let's see. Right now, the Capitals are ahead 3-2 in the third with 2 minutes left. St. Louis is ahead by one goal, 4-3, with 14.5 left to go in the third. Calgary is just whooping that duck ass. Just
tapping that ass.
I see a duck egg on Anaheim's side and damn. Five goals on Calgary's side right now. And it's 14 minutes left in the third period. As we know, Buffalo 4-3 over Columbus in overtime. Dallas beat Toronto today 3-2. The Lightning beat the Oilers 3-1 at home. Philly beat the Panthers in Florida 6-2.
Ooh, okay.
New Jersey Devils beat Detroit at home 4-1. The Ottawa Senators beat the Coyotes.
Okay.
I'm in Arizona. I can give a shit less about the Coyotes. The Nashville Predators shut out the Islanders 5-0.
Damn.
At home. And to finish it all out, the New York Rangers closed out against the Wild, final 4-3 in a shootout. I don't know why, but I love shootouts. I don't know why. I just love watching a shootout.
I'll tell you why.
One guy versus the goalie. Go for it.
Yeah. You know? Well, you remember when the Las Vegas Thunder, remember those games? In the 90s, where we used to go to those games. And remember, a lot of the games that we went to ended up in shootouts. And that was like the best thing. Yep. It was just the anticipation, like, crap, it's 2-2. It's shootout time, baby. Let's watch this thing go. And I think
And that was back in the old IHL days. That was back in the old IHL days. They had that adaptation of that particular style at the end of the overtime.
Yep.
But they didn't really think about putting it into the NHL until 20 some odd years later.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the shootout were, they were so much fun to watch. It's like, okay, skill of the player against the goalie. Let's get ready to rumble. All right.
Yep. Yep. I love
it. That's pretty much
all it is. I love it. I miss those watching the Thunder play, but I think I went to a couple, oh my goodness. What is the name of the team that used to play at the Orleans? Or they still play at the Orleans, I think, don't they?
The
Wranglers. Wranglers? Las Vegas Jet Wranglers. That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
East Coast Hockey League. I remember that. I was like, why is there a West Coast team in the East Coast Hockey League?
Exactly. You got the Utah Grizzlies. The same thing. East Coast Hockey League. What the hell? Wait, why do we have a West Coast team in it? Holy shit.
It makes
sense. Wow, you got your Western Conference, you got your Eastern Conference.
That's true. Anyway. That's true. All right, y'all. Well, we're going to bounce up out of here. Make sure that you check out the replay on the Simple Black Sports Show. Mr. Big Pev, make sure when the show is done, you drop a comment linking to your first form page. That way people can get the supplements and everything else that they need from you. And then they could actually reach out to you as well in case they need any personal training, any questions, anything like that. Make sure you listen to the podcast, everyone. It is on Spotify. It is on Apple Podcasts. It's on Google Podcasts. Anywhere that you can get a podcast, we are on. But until next time, this is your boy James, a.k.a. Hollywood J. Black, and that's my man Robert Big Pep Peveroff. And we out this bitch. Deuces.